Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending upon where in the world you are and what time of the day on this New Year's Eve you're listening to Talking the Blues. George and Andy, hello to you both. Before you answer me, I am in an extremely chipper mood
I
and I
wonder why.
feel totally vindicated in my support for David Moyes. 59 points all see up for the year 2025 in 38 games. The same as a certain Mr. Angelotti. So,
Yeah,
put
back in the knife box, big head.
that in your pipe and smoke it. How are you
Oh,
both?
it's considerably better after watching last night's game than the mood I was in after the Burnley game. So yeah, so kind of grumble. I suppose we're back on track now with the. I was expecting a win at Burnley and probably a draw at Forest, but we got it arse about face. But who cares? It's 4 points. Two home games to come, so we could get the 10 points from 12 that I was looking for. So yeah, back on track, so to speak.
That's good. How about you, George?
I'm interested to hear what you've got to say. We talked about the other matches because you hadn't seen them, but I know you watched that match last night because we got your get in text after Mr. Barry scored. That was a neat goal. I like that goal. I only thought what Andy said really on one of his texts that we got to half time and you said it's a very typical Moyes performance. You were right, and he said I wish we weren't so passive, and I agreed with both of those. But it's all a learning curve for all of them. I'm thrilled that he's got faith in Iroghemum and that he's getting time in his legs. And it was lovely to see Dibbling finish 90 minutes. That can't have done the squad any harm whatsoever. And the performance, especially from O'Brien and Tarkowski, was pitch perfect. O'Brien looks like a completely different footballer, does he not, at centre half? And Patterson had the mare that makes you wonder whether all the people who doubted him are absolutely right. He looked lost and I think we do have to cut Patterson a little bit of slack, bro, in as much as he probably wasn't expecting to play anyway, and he's obviously a bit rusty, hence him, in danger of being caught out of position and roasted a couple of times by the guy who was playing at the left wing. But I think he got better as the game went on.
I
He
think.
certainly looked out of sorts in the first 25 minutes or so.
Anybody can have a. Yeah, I thought he got worse as the game went on, and I was delighted when Moyes went, no, that's enough of that. And I hope you're right, because I don't have any reason to dislike the man, but I was a bit, you did get a bit scared. I thought Deitch's tactics were naff. I would have said, just pour the ball down the left wing. This guy's not laid a finger on Hudson-Odoi yet. No, not is he. Nor is he going to.
Well, that's probably one of the reasons why Sean Dyche is currently at Forest and not in situ at Everton Football Club.
Maybe.
How many crosses did they throw into the box last night? He clearly hadn't learned after the first 10 minutes or so of, or the first 20 minutes, when they finally began to get a toehold in the game and were throwing crosses in the area, that O'Brien and Tarkowski were going to have those crosses for breakfast all night long. As the commentator I was listening to said, the centre of this Everton defence is huge. But he didn't learn. I mean, I think they put something like 40 odd crosses in through the game last night, something like that. And
52.
it's how many, Paul? 52. Well, it makes you wonder, this is one of the most experienced managers in the league, and he didn't suss at any point that one of the biggest centre halves and one of the most capable organisational centre halves, i.e. O'Brien and Tarkowski, were just mopping it up. I mean, well, he's Forrest's problem, not ours. I think the thing we have to take from last night was, I doubt anybody expected what happened to happen last night. With the best will in the world, I would imagine that 95% of Evertonians last night would have taken the draw that we started the game with. I would have done, because, like I said to you the other day, I watched Forest against City, and they gave City a game, and they played with a lot of energy, which maybe they burnt too much of it against City, because they didn't look anything like the side that played City a couple of days ago. So if they burnt too much energy, good, that worked in our favour. But I think the thing that we have to take from it is that whatever Moyes didn't say to them beforehand at Burnley, it appeared as though he got his pre-game team talk and half-time team talk right last night, as against wrong against Burnley. But I also think the players deserve an enormous amount of credit, because they, you know, when they took to the pitch, one or two of them must have looked behind at the bench and thought, "Crikey, there's nothing on that bench other than Jack Grealish, and he's sick. So we need to put a shift in here tonight." And I think that, if you like, that backs to the wall adverse situation worked in our favour, because other than Pato, who struggled early on, every single one of them put a good shift in last night. And Garner, and why? And I'm going to say this publicly now: I am sick of reading comments about Jimmy Garner being nothing like the player that people want him to be, because last night he was outstanding, absolutely outstanding. You know, not only does he put a shift in midfield, he got forward and scored the first goal. He took it really, really well. And his through ball for Barry, I mean, first of all, the turn that took him away from two players, and then the through ball for Barry. You know, if that had been Grealish, or dare I say, you know, someone from one of the bigger clubs, people would have been eulogising about that turn and pass. But it's Jimmy Garner, so it just gets a mention in the report. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, Andy. And frankly, I don't care what other people think.
No, I know, and you're right. I shouldn't bother about it either. But what gets me at times is some of the negative comments that people make about Garner, and I'm going to throw Mikalenko in the mix as well. You know, that some Evertonians don't rate either of them, and they are good, solid pros. I know what people say about Mikalenko. He doesn't attack as well as Luka Dina used to do, and he doesn't attack as well as Baines he used to do. But he was brought in specifically to be a fullback, to replace Dina, who used to go tear arsing forward like it was going out of fashion, and too often got caught out of position. And Mikalenko was signed not to get caught out of position, and he rarely does. But anyway, back to last night. I just thought it was a superb all-round performance from the players. They clearly were all on the same page together. There was nobody who had a, you know, with the exception, like I said, with the exception of early on of Pato, who looked rusty and etc. I thought it was one of the best team performances we've seen for a long, long time. And I think they reacted to the fact that, you know, they knew that, no disrespect to the lads who were on the bench, but that they had to put a shift in so that those lads on the bench weren't going to be put under pressure. And I think it worked out admirably. And I think you could tell from Moyes' post-game reaction that to some extent, the nature of the way the game went, and the result, was a surprise to him as well, or something of a surprise to him.
You know what my obviously other people don't know who my son is. Not that he's anybody famous or anything. He's not. But he's a mad Evertonian, and he watched the game, and he turned around to me, and he watches TV stuff that I would never watch in my lifetime. And he said, "Dad," he said, "this reminds me of program called, because he knows I don't watch TV really, a program called Britain's Got Talent." I was like, "Yes." He said, "Well, there was a time," he said, "you know, because I don't do music really as well, and people will think, who the hell is this guy? But I don't do music really very much." He said, "You know Susan Boyle?" And I said, "Well, don't really know her, but yeah, I know of her." He said, "When Susan Boyle first went on Britain's Got Talent, who's the who's one of the judges, Simon Cowell?" Simon Cowell said, after she'd done her first ever sort of performance on Britain's Got Talent, "Susan Boyle, I knew from the moment that you walked on the stage, you were going to be great." And everybody burst out laughing because apparently nobody thought she was going to be great. And Casper said to me, my son said to me, he said, "That was Everton tonight." He said, "We looked at the team beforehand," he said, "and we were all tearing our hair out. We all thought it was going to be terrible." He said, "and it turned out to be absolutely fantastic." Maybe the analogy's lost a little bit, but anyway, it was funny at the time. And he thought it, my son thought it was very funny because he thought of it, obviously. But yeah, I don't think, I don't think you can go. It's very rare that you can go through 90 minutes and hardly be critical of anything that happened in the game. There was that one chance in the first half, wasn't there, where we sort of messed up a little bit, and we lost the ball twice in the penalty area, and it just ended up rolling past our right-hand post.
I think that was second half,
Was
Paul.
that second?
Yeah,
Yes, it was
second
second
half.
half. Sorry, second half. Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was, I think anyway, and this is just me speaking, and obviously others will have a different opinion. I think that was as close to a perfect Moyes performance as you can get, given the circumstances. As you say, given that Forest, played well against Manchester City, given that we hadn't played well against Burnley, although we came away with a point, to get that group of players into a position whereby they could go on the pitch and perform like they did to a man. I just think I've been beaming ever since, massive smile on my face.
Good for you.
Possibly even throughout the whole night last night, I could have been grinning in my sleep. I don't know. That's a scary thought. Yeah, I it was. It just took me back to the, to it took me back to the sort of, peak Moyes, 2008, 2009, that period. It was unexpected because of the team that we put out and the lack of resource that we had and the lack of alternatives that we had. But you could also, on the other hand, argue that, this type of performance has been coming because there have been periods in games where we've looked, a pretty decent team. And had we had more quality up front, and had we done what we did last night, which is convert, two very, very good chances, had we done that in other games, we'd actually be higher up the league than we are now. So,
That
yeah, that.
that's the conundrum, isn't it? Is getting the consistency.
We've scored, we're the fourth, we've scored the fourth fewest, oh, sorry, we've conceded the fourth fewest goals in the league this season. So we always knew that Moyes was likely to get our defence working properly. And that's with all the limitations that we've had about, our two fullbacks, whoever those two fullbacks might have been at the time, whether it be O'Brien playing out of position, be it be Mikalenko, or be it Patterson last night. The fact is that there's, 16 teams who've conceded more goals than we have so far this season. Our problem has been converting the few chances that we've had when we've had them. because
have got the best goalie in the league.
that shouldn't be taken for granted, but absolutely is the case. Our problem, as we've identified for years, is how many goals are we going to score? I mean, we could end up. And I know, George, you said yes to me yesterday. Please put those chickens back. Don't start counting them yet. But we could end up qualifying for Europe and not scoring 50 goals in a season.
That'd be entertaining, wouldn't it? Given that we don't expect there to be a lot going on in the transfer market, and I know this is a mad question, but it's only us talking here, isn't it? Do we want to go into Europe this season?
Absolutely, we do.
Yeah, of course you
Oh,
do.
yeah. Oh, okay.
You've got to think. Yeah, you've got to think positively, bro. I mean, we're getting Europe.
I'm
That
not saying I'm not thinking positively, Andy.
no. I know what you say. I know what you're saying. But the way I look at it is twofold. Well, it's probably more fold actually than just two. But if we make Europe, that instantly makes us more attractive to players. The fact that we'd be involved in Europe next season. So that would make the summer transfer window a lot more interesting. It would give the fans an enormous boost, because I mean we travel ridiculously well domestically, and historically we've traveled ridiculously well internationally. So, and you can sense now that people will be saving up. We get make Europe. Look at all these places we could go. Places we've never been before, or whether it's places we've been before or not, who cares? It's a chance, a couple of days away in Europe.
I get all that. I suppose what I was really saying was, if we're not expecting too much business in the transfer window, so this is the squad that's going to see us through. I mean, of course, we'd all be thrilled. I'd be thrilled to bits to be in Europe, but I won't shed too many tears if it doesn't happen because I don't think the squad's strong enough at all. And so, unless something remarkable happens in the window, I don't think that squad's ready for that. But if it comes, of course, fantastic, brilliant.
Well, I mean, you could look at it slightly differently. And as much as we got, we put in a, yes, I did think there were times first half when we were too passive against Forest. I thought we could have gone a bit harder at them first half. Ultimately, we got it right. We got the second goal, and had Tarko's header gone in, 3-0 would have been totally justified. But I think, we had eight players missing last night. You get them all fit and competing for places, then I think there is every possibility that, given a break with some results and, dare I suggest, some refereeing decisions, we could knock on the door of Europe this year. I don't think anybody was expecting Europe. This, as finishing in a position to qualify for Europe for next season. I don't think any Evertonian was expecting that. So the chance to get there with this squad, and whether we bring anybody else in January or not, would be an outstanding achievement. And yes, I would have to doff my cap to Moyes if we made Europe this year. We get all those players fit and healthy and competing for places, because that's what any manager wants, is competition for places.
I think there's a number of factors, isn't there, in all of this, Andy. Obviously, it makes us a more attractive proposition going into the summer. It would allow the club to spend more money because we're going to generate more revenue out of next season. But for me, one of the important factors in this is if you take the view, and I take the view that the Premier League is effectively split up into three separate leagues. There's the sort of six or seven teams that are likely to finish in the top six or seven. There's sort of the middle class, in the sense of those that aren't going to get into Europe, but those that aren't going to get relegated, which is probably, I don't know, 8th to 15th, say. And then there's like five teams at the bottom, three of which are likely to be the teams that have just come up, and maybe a couple of other teams as well who are going to struggle against relegation or the threat of relegation. If we can be one of those, say, eight teams that get into Europe next season, that means that we take one of those eight places away from one of our competitors. And it's particularly relevant from next season, in the sense that we're well, actually, after next season, so going into 26, 27, sorry, going into 27, 28, so the following season, it's particularly relevant because we're going to be limited as to how much we can spend based on how much we earn. So getting into Europe next season and the following season is going to be critical to us. Absolutely critical, because if we don't get into Europe, that means another, obviously another Premier League club does. And that means that that Premier League club, one, enjoys the benefits of the money, but two, can spend more money the following season because their revenues have increased. It will also give the Friedkins a bit of a kick up the bottom, in terms of they may just realise that we're onto something here. We've got a manager that can get us into European football. We've got a group of players who, for whatever their limitations are showing enormous resolve and enormous unity, and are doing everything that they can do to advance the club. We need to back them now in the transfer market. So it's not going to happen in January, but because I think the view in January is going to be, we're not going to get relegated. We might get Europe. There's probably not going to be any value in the January window. We can do some loan business. We'll do some loan business, but we're not going to go out and buy anybody, I don't think. But then,
Well,
because
a couple of
we're going to leave our powder dry for the summer, and that will be greatly enhanced if we get one of those European slots.
Well, a couple of proactive loans would be would help, surely.
Yeah, very much so. I think we're obviously going to have to go into the loan market and bolster the squad, because we're on our bare bones, and a couple more injuries, and I don't know who we turn to. Obviously we'll be getting players back, but the squad is stretched, and notwithstanding that, I think I genuinely, maybe I'm just getting overly excited here, but I think there's a genuine prospect of European football next season, even if it's the third competition, the Conference League. That would be such a massive boost for the club,
Absolutely.
and it would
Couldn't
be
agree more.
a small, a small reward for the fans and for everything that we've been through in the last, well, I'd say the last decade, really. I was thinking last night, actually, after the game, that obviously, we're about to go into 2026. In February, that'll make it 10 years since Mascheri came to the club. And what a waste of a decade it's been. Obviously, we've done things since. Yes, we've got the stadium, but the club has been through such an awful lot in the last decade, and is now just starting to appear as if we're working our way out of the difficulties towards, better times ahead. But it's actually been a decade. It's incredible to think. I can remember us. I don't think we were podcasting just then, but no, I remember I was podcasting on Everton Business Matters at the time, and that's a decade ago. And we were talking about this guy, Fahad Mashiri, coming in and spending a load of money and us going on to do great things. And yes, he did spend a lot of money, but we didn't do any great things, really.
You know,
Now you've
the money was largely wasted, wasn't it?
The really in that was totally unnecessary. I mean, we just didn't,
Well, there was
well, we
clearly
nearly
no
went out
there
of
was
business, let
yeah
alone.
there was clearly no planning about how the money that was made available would be spent.
No.
They just flashed the checkbook around, and everybody else made hay on the back of the chaos.
But in that decade, obviously we, we nearly touched the bottom in every sense, footballing sense, obviously from a business perspective as well. But that gave all of our competitors a decade to improve themselves while we were going backwards. And the turnaround in the club's fortunes from just over a, just on a year ago is remarkable. That's not all down to the Friedkins, although they've brought stability back to the club and a sense of purpose, I think, in terms of the management of the club and in terms of the direction of travel, where there obviously was none beforehand. The turnaround in our fortune is down to the players and down to the manager. I think sometimes we're maybe a little bit harsh on the players, and we've all individually at times been critical of the players individually and collectively. But actually they've been through such an awful, such a terrible time while serving the club. Okay, they get well rewarded, and I understand that. And from most people's point of view, it's impossible to believe that a professional footballer it doesn't live in a land of milk and honey. But from a professional perspective, they've had such a terrible time at Everton Football Club over the years. Some of it is down to their, down to their application, but most of it is down to the way that the club is being run. For us to be even contemplating what we're now contemplating 12 months on from where we were this time last year, is remarkable. And I think we should, well, I for one, I'm going to keep reminding myself of that.
Dead right.
No, it's fair comment, Paul. Fair comment. I don't think very many would have expected us to be, if you like, on the cusp of what we might be on the cusp of
If
in
we were to get your,
such a short time.
if we were to get European football, and I know, please, people who are listening to this, don't accuse me of like trying to run ahead. I think it would be Moyes' single biggest achievement of his career.
I'd probably go along with that, actually, bearing in mind what he inherited. I would actually agree with that, Paul. If we got European football next year, he would deserve a lot of credit.
And in fact,
You know.
I would argue that he would be a candidate for manager of the year if he was able to do that.
He's already got an OBE.
Arise, Sir David Moyes.
Steady on.
I'm not going down that route.
Goody.
All right, let's sort of pull it back a little bit, and just talk about one or two individual performances, from last night. Obviously, our two central defenders were excellent. James Garner mentioned already, fantastic. What about young Mr. Dibbling?
Very encouraged by his performance last night. Very encouraged. I've said in previous podcasts that I wish Moisey would give him his head and let him go out and rip the back out of someone. I think what we learned last night is this kid is much more of a footballer than he is an out and out winger. If anyone, I think. Anyone, including myself, if I was expecting to see a right-sided David Thomas who was going to knock the ball past the fullbacks and then tear past him, he's not that type of a winger. But his close control looked good. His application last night was excellent. He clearly enjoyed having the start and completing the 90 minutes. I thought he put in a very, very solid performance last night. and it can only do him the world of good. I thought he was tremendous last night. Very impressed.
What did you think, Paul?
I thought for the first time he looked like the player that he looked like at Southampton. He looked confident on the ball. He showed for the ball whenever it was possible for him to do so. And we've talked about this many times, and I know lots of other people will have said the same. It's so refreshing to see somebody, Grealish has done the same this year, get hold of the ball and make it difficult for us to lose possession. Now, I know the possession stats, you know, something like 60-odd% for Nottingham Forest, 30-odd% for us. But the fact is that when he had control of the ball, Forest found it really difficult to get the ball back from him. And that does so many good things for the team. Obviously, it gets us further up the pitch and creates chances, but it also stops the opposition from breaking on us. And, you know, we talked before about not being able to define what type of team Everton is. We looked really good on the break last night.
I wouldn't disagree with that. My only, and as our kid said, I said it in a message at half time. I thought we were, having gotten the lead and got the lead with a really good goal. I just thought we could have pushed on a little bit more. I just think we were a bit passive. I mean, in the end, it all worked out perfectly. You know, 2-0 away on the road. Nobody can complain at that. Really, not even a narc like me, but I just thought we could have taken the game a bit more to them, having gotten the lead. But that, you know, it's probably a minor point. Like I said, we've won 2-0 in the end, and it could have been 3 if Tarko's header had gone in. But the individual performances, what you were talking about, Paul. Yeah, I mean, O'Brien, Tarkowski, Garner, Dibling. I thought Timmy Robinham had a decent game. Even McNeil, he was certainly better than he was at Burnley, that's for sure. You know, overall, it was a very, very solid performance, and we got exactly what we deserved, which was a victory and 3 points, because we were clearly a better side than Forest were. You know, and they had possession, but didn't do anything with it other than those couple of half chances. You know, the one that was it, Jesus put past the post in the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, did JP make any serious saves?
One really quite snappy one, yeah, in the second half.
Right.
Yeah. A low shot to his left. He got down quick.
Yeah, yes. There was that one. But other than that, you know, we weren't. It was a good, solid defensive performance. And as Paul said, you know, we looked good. We looked half decent on the break. I just think we could have tried to break a bit more often. But like I said, that's just me being churlish, wanting to see us play more attacking football.
I suppose, you know, because we're going through the players individually now, the biggest change is in the confidence of Barry. And he's beginning to hold the ball up much better. I think his link-up play is clearly better than Beto's. And he suddenly, this is sound crazy, but this is what it feels like to me. He suddenly looks like a man who is 6'5" tall. He's winning an awful lot of the ball, and he's getting more physical with the defenders that are marking him.
That's a good point, that, bro. Because in the game at Hill Dickinson when we beat Forest 3-0, that certainly in the first half, that lump at the centre of Forest defence, Milenkovic, gave Barry a bit of a bad time.
Not last night, he didn't.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. Last night. Barry didn't look fazed by going up against him. And you could tell by the look on Milenkovic's face at times was, I'm getting nowhere fast here against this kid. he must have been praying for Beto to come on earlier.
I'm just thrilled for the club and for him, because I think, you know, we've talked endlessly, and every Evertonian must have done, about the lack of goals. But he took that one sweetly last night, and that can't have done him any harm, and I'm looking forward to Sunday. And I'm sure he'll start.
Oh, he's got to start against Brentford, surely, to God. But Moyes is not going to be daft enough to change the side that's... or to change his centre-forward on after that. I mean, he'd be nuts to change it. No offence to Beto, but the kid, as you said, the kid's clearly growing into the club and growing into his game. And he's got two goals now, so his confidence will be... Right? And he said himself that he's building a, you know, a rapport with Jimmy Garner playing from midfield. He said that himself last night. But
no, interesting.
There's no excuse. There'd be no reason to change the number nine shirt at all.
Absolutely. Sorry, George. I recall a few weeks ago, I think it was you, George, saying that, you know, we basically, Moyes needs to make a decision as to who his favourite number nine is, or his favourite number nine is. And we said it's, or I think you said it should be Barry, and that he just needs to be given a run and to generate some confidence for himself. And clearly, that's been the case, because you know, I think the pecking order is now well established.
I meant to ask you both, because you mentioned it ages ago and I didn't hear it. What was Moyes' post-match comments? I mean, apparently he must have talked to his bollocks.
He was grinning from ear to ear.
It was lovely to see him on the pitch with the players going, yes, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was trying not to smile, but he was just smiling despite himself.
He failed miserably.
Yeah.
I think he was surprised at how well the team responded to the position that they went into the game in. You know, with so many players being out, and no disrespect to the lads on the bench, but the only seasoned pro there really was Jack Grealish, and I just think that. I think he was genuinely, obviously delighted, but to a degree surprised at how well the team played as a team. You know, I really did. I thought, you know, he must have been absolutely delighted going home on the bus last night.
Yeah.
I bet he slept extremely well last night.
Just to back up what you were saying, direct quote from, it was an amazing performance by the players. We came here with quite a bit of trepidation. That sort of proves your point, Andy.
Yeah.
You know, because we've got eight players out at the moment, 30% of the squad. I mean, everybody will know that most of them were starters in the team. So credit goes to the boys who came on and did the job today. It just shows that you keep doing the right things. Hopefully we get the results. We didn't play well at Burnley, but we've had two away games and picked up 4 points. That's not a bad return. And, you know, two clean sheets as well. You didn't say that. That's my bit. Defensively, we've conceded the fewest goals in the past month for 8 or 9 games now, which is some going when you see the level of other teams. But you saw the level of commitment from everybody on the pitch today.
Yeah, we certainly did.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing. It was the fact that, for me, they were clearly all on the same page last night. Whatever, like I said, whether it was just a collective mindset or whether it was what was said in the dressing room before they took to the field and at halftime, they looked absolutely determined to get a result last night and thoroughly deserved it. Nobody, no Forest fan could complain about that result last night.
Nah. They were given a football lesson last night.
Yeah, they were given a lesson in organisation and adaption. That, you know, Everton adapted to the circumstances that were affecting them. Forest didn't. Forest went out and played the one way that Dyche wants to play, which is just keep throwing crosses in the box and hopefully something will come off. Well, they could have played for another half hour. They still wouldn't have scored.
Well, that's interesting that you say they played the way Dyche wanted to play, because we never played like that when Dyche was our manager.
Well,
no, but Dyche has never seen Everton win twice in December neither, but he has now.
Ho, ho, ho. Joke's out. Come on, boys.
No, I just think, you know, that they didn't adapt to the situation they had in front of them. They, you know, maybe they were into the game a bit complacent. You know, this Everton side is further weakened than it was against Burnley. You know, we should do all right here. We play like we did against City. They didn't play like they did against City, and we didn't allow them to play like they did against City. And they fell into the trap of just lumping balls into the box. As we said, Tarko and O'Brien just had them for breakfast.
Obviously, there's been occasions this year when we haven't done this, and Burnley was one. But generally speaking, certainly in our away games, we've started well in games. So I mean, like, you know, the Chelsea game, for example, we started well in that. And I think, you know, one of the other statistics that's come out of this year, 2025, is that under Moyes, we've won 9 away games this year.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That is good. Yeah, that is an impressive stat.
You know, given what he inherited, given what he's had to spend, and then given, you know, what's happened to the squad for various reasons since, that is impressive.
Mm.
So there can't be many. We talk, don't we, about him and going to the, you know, the bigger grounds or to the grounds of the bigger clubs. There can't be that many away games now that he's feeling that nervous about. I mean, he's still got, okay, we won at United, but then, you know, United are not really any great shakes at the moment, are they?
No.
It would be wonderful to see him. That was said with so much pleasure, George. That was like you were tasting a fine wine.
Happy New Year. You whining bastards, you.
I almost feel as if we should finish the podcast on that. Let's finish the year on that.
Oh,
no, to be honest, I think we said it all anyway, but great to finish the year on such a high.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, last game of 2025 was a tremendous performance, a great result. Just let's take that level of performance and commitment into the new year. You know, Brentford will be an interesting game on Sunday, and then we've got Wolves, who, in fairness, taking 2 points in the last two games, so they'll come a little bit more invigorated, but. You know, I think it's better if the opposition is going to give us a game. I think the players will respond more. And two home games on the trot. Just go for it, boys. Just go for it.
Wouldn't it be great if Moyes got the lads together and said, "Look, New Year. There's two things that we need to do this year. We need to qualify for Europe, which I think we're capable of doing. And we owe it to our supporters and we owe it to ourselves to have a day out in at Wembley in May."
Yeah.
Forget the semi-finals and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Don't count semi-finals as a trip to Wembley.
We need we need to give the fans a day out at Wembley in May. And we need to qualify for European football, so that they can have a number of days out later in the year and into the second half of next season as well. Let's make that the goal. Imagine if he stands up and says that next time the team get together, which will obviously be tomorrow. That would stir something, wouldn't it? After on the back of the of last night's result,
Get my backing.
how motivating would that be? Because I think the other thing about last night is that if Moyes had any doubts about the players, and we've sometimes questioned whether he, you know, thinks all of the players should be are good enough, and he said on occasions that, you know, we lack quality in certain parts of the pitch, which is a, you know, a direct challenge to those players that he's talking about. But actually, last night, what our players showed was that we are good enough to compete in this league and to compete at the higher end of the league, not at the lower end of the league. And maybe last night will also change Moyes' attitude, both to the players, but also to the way that he plays for the rest of the season. Because I'm sure he learned something about the team and about some of the players last night that perhaps he was hoping but hadn't quite seen the evidence of. And I think he's a clever enough manager to recognize that and then to build on it. Because if for whatever reason in a game going forwards now our standards drop, he's got something to go back to and say, look, this is what you did at Forest. You just come off a good performance against Manchester City. And we went there and we effectively played them off the park. That's what he would say to the team. It puts our team and the rest of the season into a totally different context. I know from my own perspective, you know, if you go and you win some deal somewhere that you weren't expecting to win, it changes your approach to every other negotiation that you have for a few months afterwards. It gives you that confidence to go and do things that you didn't necessarily think you could do beforehand, or you weren't sure that you could do beforehand. There's the evidence. The evidence is that we're capable of much more than we've done in obviously in recent years. So Moyes just needs to tell them to go and do it. Repeat what we did at Forest. Sometimes we'll play differently because different games are going to require, you know, different tactics. But
Yeah, but it's the level of application, isn't it?
Moyes will have been. I think I texted you last night. I said Moyes probably is the most. Will be most pleased with the fact that everybody who was on the pitch last night did exactly what he wanted them to do. And if he just takes that message into the rest of the games for the rest of the season, then I think our progress will continue.
No reason why it shouldn't.
Yeah, agreed.
And that's me signing out. So I'm going to sign out now on 2025.
Happy New Year.
Aye. Onwards and upwards.
Onwards and upwards. What a great way to finish the year. It's been a challenging year for Everton. It's been a challenging year for all of us for different reasons. But we're all here, and we can go into the new year with massive optimism, at least from a football club's perspective, and hopefully from other perspectives as well. So, yeah, to all our listeners, very happy new year. 2026 should be a good year. And to both you, George and Andy, thank you for your support. And I wish you and your families all the very best.
Same to you, mate.
Likewise, mate. Likewise.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, guys. And thank you to everybody who's listened to us. Thank you for all the comments. And yeah, see you, well, in a
I
couple of
hope.
days' time.
Post
Yeah.
Brentford.
Yeah.
Cheers,
Excellent stuff. Thank you, guys.
Paul.